All right, Bill, we're back on the Carolina Outdoors, and we were just recommending Cape Lookout as a good place to get away from the world and all the diseases and things that are going on. Lots of fresh air out on Cape Lookout, but let's talk a little bit more about the condition of the coast.
Well, that's right, and who helps look after that and advocate for the coast here in North Carolina and beyond? And I did a little bit of studying about something that started in Texas back in 1977, and now includes 17 coastal state chapters spanning from the Gulf of Mexico, the Pacific, and the Atlantic, including North Carolina. The name of this group of conservationists and recreational anglers is called the Coastal Conservation Association, and we're going to bring Area Director on Joe Neely right now to tell us about the CCA, especially CCANC, and all the things that they are doing in the state of North Carolina and what they have up their sleeve for the future. In essence, Don, we're going to talk about estuaries and fishing the coast right now with Joe Neely. Joe, welcome to the Carolina Outdoors.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back on.
Well, you just got a bit of a very broad overview from me, but bring us a little closer to home with North Carolina and what CCA, what some of the topics that are coming up in front of CCA with their mission statement and what they are doing.
Sure. So you gave a great overview of the history of CCA nationally, which did start in Houston, but like you mentioned, CCA's in a lot of different states, and we here in North Carolina have been here for over 30 years now. We started in 1989, and everything that we do, even though we are a national organization, everything that CCA North Carolina does is specifically centered in North Carolina fisheries management, advocacy, and habitat building. And so those are the two main pillars that we focus our efforts on, is, you know, generating awareness and advocacy efforts among decision makers as it pertains to coastal fisheries, and at Raleigh with the legislators, and trying to push for common sense management practices that will sustain our public trust resources indefinitely, so that all of the citizens of North Carolina, whether you live at the beach or in the corner over by Tennessee or somewhere in between, that you have just as much of a say and a stake in those resources. And we would like to see them managed as such. And then we also, the other pillar that we focus on is habitat building, where while we're waiting on those slow gears of the political process to turn, we want to actively do what we can in the present and take a proactive approach to build new habitat for fisheries where they can come and thrive and have a place where recreational anglers and all kinds of people can come out and enjoy them.
Now, how do you improve habitat in the ocean?
So there's a lot of different ways that we do it, but probably our favorite and my favorite involves oyster reefs. And so we'll actually use a bunch of different methods of putting down new reef structures and substrates for oyster habitat to latch on and grow. And not only do they provide a great deal of habitat for fish, like our state saltwater fish, for instance, the red drum, up to 90% of its diet can be found on oyster reef. So it's a tremendous habitat, but also oysters can do an incredible job of improving water quality. And one oyster can filter up to 50 gallons of water per day. And in our most recent work day, last spring, we were out in the New River, and we put down about 80 million oysters into the water in one day. And so if you do the math, 80 million times 50, that equals a whole lot of water that's being improved, and while we're at it, creating new habitat that fish can come and people can enjoy by fishing over and going to those areas.
Well, and sometimes, you know, we call it coastal conservation, and I think straight up saltwater and being at the coast, but I do know North Carolina also helped raise a lot of money for the artificial reef over at Bayview Reef in the Pamlico River, which is another, building habitat, as well as coastal storm runoff rules that, got in the way of shellfish. Talk a little bit, or can you talk a little bit about what that means, aquifer depletion and that sort of stuff? I think that was about 10 years ago.
Bayview Reef is just one example of many different areas that have experienced detrimental effects to the actual substrate in the water and the quality of the water itself as a result of a lot of different factors, but mostly those are due to runoff from storms as our waterways allow different amounts of water to get into our coastal waters, and then also as population increases in our coastal towns, just as building and infrastructure goes up, so too does the waste runoff that ultimately finds its way in our coastal waters. And so that's another great benefit of some of these projects that we do, is it's just another way that it can improve those issues by shaping and using different types of oyster reefs and other types of substrate to put in the water that can do the things that I was talking about a minute ago, while also providing a runway, in a sense, to guide and gear some of that runoff.
All right. His name is Joe Neely, Area Director of CCANC. And Joe, you just covered the habitat, but now over to the advocacy really quick. When you say CCANC, to me, it makes me think of fighting against the nets that a lot of the commercial trawlers use, and the saltwater fishing license that North Carolina had come online back in the 90s. Those are two huge things that CCA has been involved with. Anything else like that on the horizon or currently being advocated for that we need to know about?
Yeah, so to put it short, North Carolina experiences some of the most backwards fisheries management in the country, if not the most. And a lot of that revolves around some of the gear and destructive gear that is allowed to go on in our waters that decimates our fisheries populations and makes it very hard for them to rebuild year after year. And one of the major instances of that we've been talking about for a couple of decades now that finally came to a head, and a lot of people around Charlotte, I'm sure, that visit the coast experienced last year, was the shutdown of the flounder fishery, which is our most valuable fin fishery, both commercially and recreationally. And it's been those flounder stocks, particularly southern flounder, has been declining year over year for the last two decades since we've really started having the data available to track these statistics, where they're overfished and overfishing is continually occurring. And so that's one of the main kind of poster child issues that North Carolina is experiencing right now because of the bycatch that's involved and some of the practices that go into actually catching those flounder. And so that's one of the main things that we do, is try to advocate that these resources don't just belong to people that live on the coast. They don't just belong to people that live in coastal counties or commercial fish. They belong to all of us, and we want to be able to enjoy those resources indefinitely into the future and have our children and their children be able to enjoy those resources the same way that we have, without being essentially mismanaged into or out of existence. And so that's why it's important that we're here talking to you and in Charlotte, and we talk to people up in Asheville and all over the western half of the state, trying to get across to people that these are a public trust resource, and whether you enjoy them multiple times a year, once a year, or every few years, you should take ownership in those resources and want to see them preserved. And so that's what we're always out trying to do, is spread that word and build awareness around these issues.
Let's talk about the term bycatch, because that's a sanitized term that really doesn't explain what that is. Tell us about bycatch.
So bycatch, in a simple way, is if you say you're going after southern flounder, for instance, and that is your target species, but in the act of catching that species, you also have unintended catch, and that would be considered your bycatch. So in the act of catching one flounder, you might catch a handful of undersized flounder or trout or red drum in the process. And when we're looking at gill nets, especially unintended gill nets, fish that get caught in there do not survive to be release back.
That's right.
That doesn't just stop at fish. It also, we see it all the time where endangered sea turtles get caught in these nets, and seagulls and all kinds of different wildlife that do inevitably die as a result of getting caught in these nets. And like I said, we're the only state that really allows them to the extent that North Carolina does in our inshore nursery areas, which are the really important areas that we try to protect where fish need to be able to go to reproduce.
Bycatch does not swim away. It was accidentally killed in the process, right?
Correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yep.
And, if you look at another destructed gear that we look at is shrimp trawling, where we've got these very large otter trawls that drag the bottom of our nursery areas. The conservative estimate of the amount of bycatch involved there is for every 1 pound of shrimp that's landed in North Carolina, there's at least 4 pounds of bycatch in the process. And so when you've got an average, I think the last average was about 12 or 13 million pounds landed in North Carolina annually, multiply that by 4, and you've got a considerable amount of what we call juvenile finfish that have not reached spawning age yet. And so if you don't reach spawning age, it makes it pretty hard to reproduce and sustain a population. So that's a staggering figure.
Joe, Charlotte and Nashville are not on the coast. I know Charlotte last year and this year, 2020 Fly Fishing Film Tour, scheduled for Thursday, March 19th at the Visualite Theater. You are bringing CCANC, Coastal Conservation Association of North Carolina, is bringing us the live music at the Fly Fishing Film Tour. But you also have an upcoming banquet that's going to be the week after. Tell us about that and how we can get tickets and participate.
Yes, sir. So we're very excited to be partnering with you guys on the film tour again this year. I do a lot of events all around the state, and this is by far one of my favorite. The production value of some of these films and the Visualize is such a great venue, and having Jesse Brown's bringing it year after year to Charlotte is just such a great thing, and it's such an enjoyable event. So we're really excited for that, and we'll be back like we were last year, giving some things away, and I'll talk for a couple minutes during the intermission, and we'll have a great night again. And like you mentioned, that will precede our annual Charlotte area fundraiser. That will be the following Thursday on March 26th. And we've got tickets available for that, where you'll get a CCA membership for a year, you'll get an open bar, a great catered dinner, and we'll also have some awesome giveaways, raffles, silent auction, live auction. So it's going to be a really fun time, and it's going to be a packed house. So if you'd like to get tickets while they're still available, we do still have some left and some opportunities to buy a table, which will also put you into a drawing for a free fishing trip in North Carolina. You can go to our website, which is ccanc.org, and then just go to our events calendar and find Charlotte, and then you can buy tickets there.
You can contact us over at Jesse Brown's, too. We'll get you pointed in the right direction. His name, Joe Neely, Area Director of CCANC on the Carolina Outdoors.